Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 11, the first 18 verses. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with these men and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" And when they heard this, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life."
Dave already complained this morning that I gave him the long scripture passage. People of God, let's pray. Merciful God, we thank you for the gift of your word, for the scripture that lightens our load and teaches us something new. We ask that you would open our ears and our hearts to hear again your word spoken. Amen. Hear then the gospel lesson from John chapter 13, beginning at verse 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The word love has a multitude of variations in our language, doesn't it? Sometimes it can be hard to parse out just what someone means by love. Someone might tell you that they love chocolate or pizza, and then also affirm, of course, that they do love their spouse. We love our children, and we love our hobbies, though maybe not in the same way. I love my dogs, but I have not attached to them the same affection and love that I have for my son. Love is often an overused word that we use to convey everything from affection to appreciation to romance to devotion and on, because love has a multitude of meanings in our world. So when Jesus commands us to love one another the same way that he loved us, what kind of love is that? How are we to love one another the way Jesus loves us? Jesus then said that the world would know we were his servants by how we loved one another. I think that a really good example of this kind of love is found in the story that Dave read for us this morning, in the story of Peter journeying from Joppa and going back to Jerusalem and getting into trouble with the rest of the Christians. When he gets back, they're all worked up and upset with him because rumor has it that he has been hanging out with the Gentiles. And not only has he been hanging out and being seen talking to them and preaching to them, but he has broken bread with them and baptized them. Peter has broken the letter of the law. Peter has broken the letter of the law because he has not only traveled to a Gentile city, he has met in the home of a Roman centurion. You know, the Roman occupiers who had taken over the kingdom of Israel, the outsiders that nobody really liked but tolerated because they had the bigger weapons. He has met in the home of one of those people, spoken with him, preached to his family and the rest of the folks who gathered with them, and then the word has traveled to Jerusalem that they were baptized. And that they then sat down to a meal, something that no self-respecting Jew would ever have considered doing. It's hard for us to understand just how controversial and how difficult people would have had, a time people would have had with this. This is not in our worldview as much, but imagine the depth of segregation and the fear and the anger that Peter would have encountered when he came home and said, no, no, they're just like us. Peter has gone above and beyond what his people understand him to be supposed to be doing because he is acting in love. Peter is acting in love. He's been commanded by God to go past the barriers that he grew up with. He is been commanded by God to cross the boundary, to go and to reach out to someone who does not belong in his world. And yet God says, what I make clean, you don't get to call unclean. Jesus has chosen to push Peter past his comfort zone, past his understanding of the way that the world is supposed to work. God has sent Peter to the outsiders, to these unclean people, to share the gospel with them. God has chosen Peter and then later Paul to carry the message of Jesus Christ to the rest of the world, because God's call transcends our natural barriers that we put up around ourselves and says that my word is for all who will listen. As followers of Jesus, we are commanded to act in love, to act for the good of the other, I think is the correct definition of love in this context. This is not the warm, fuzzy kind of love. In fact, it might not even be a feeling at all. Acting in love often requires that we set aside our natural preferences for people who see the world we do, the way we do, or who like the things that we like, the people who we're comfortable with, the people we already know. Our assumptions and all of those things must be set aside if we are going to act for the good of someone else. Peter responds to God's command, goes against everything he's ever been taught. He was raised in a Jewish family, going to synagogue, going to the temple at least once a year, and he was taught a very particular worldview. To follow these men, to meet with the centurion, takes him out of everything he's ever known. Peter is acting in love, but I will guarantee you he did not feel warm and fuzzy feelings towards this Roman centurion or these three men who came to get him and drag him to Caesarea. He goes instead and says to them, "I'm here, what do you want?" Did you hear that? He gets to the house and says, "Okay, I'm here, what did you want me for? God sent me here, why am I here?" He's not warm and fuzzy and loving towards them. He's obedient to God's command. He goes, he preaches, he teaches, he baptizes because he has been sent by God to act in love towards them. And what he learns is that the Spirit of God is present in that place, the same as the Spirit has been present with him in other places. Feeling love is not the same as acting in love, though I suspect Peter did come to feel love towards these new believers. As the parent of a soon-to-be teenager, I understand that I regularly get to make decisions that are not popular, but that are the loving thing to do. You all know what I'm talking about? We've all had to make decisions that are the right thing, that are not the popular thing. Sometimes acting in love is not the warm, fuzzy feeling. It is choosing what is the good for someone else. It is not fun to be the one who says, "Shut the video games off, you're done," because that's not popular in our house. It's not fun to be the parent who says, "Okay, that's it, bedtime," when there's way more fun things to do. But boundaries are good and healthy for a kid to learn, right? And so we make the unpopular decision. There's a vast difference as a parent between giving your child everything they want because you love them so much and giving them healthy set boundaries because you love them so much that you want them to learn. Acting in love is not always the same as feeling warm fuzzies. It's something we're called to do for one another as well. We are to act in love for one another. We are to act with love, even sometimes when we don't feel particularly warm and fuzzy towards the other person. Have you ever had to confront a loved one for a behavior that you know they needed to hear was harming them? Acting in love is not always warm and fuzzy. Have you ever chosen to tell someone the truth because you know that they needed to hear it, even though you knew it would be painful for them, because you were acting out of love? Sometimes acting in love does produce warm, fuzzy feelings. Sometimes we really do feel really good about the acts of love that we perform. And sometimes acting in love is hard work. Sometimes acting in love requires that we be brave, that we be self-sacrificing or step outside of what is comfortable because we know it is right. Jesus said that his followers would be known by their love. And I think if we can be really honest with ourselves, we can admit that that's not always been the case in the church, has it? Both corporately, the big church, and as individuals, we have often fallen short of the command to love as Jesus loved. We have often fallen short of the ability to act in love towards one another. Sometimes we've compromised with what's right to make sure we keep the peace, to keep things calm, even though we knew it wasn't necessarily the right decision. Sometimes we have been guilty of backbiting or gossip or anger and not letting things go. To be fair, there are times that we have gotten it right. There are times that we have been courageous, gone to another person that we knew was in need, even if it frightened us. There are times that we have walked well with people who are hurting and wounded. There are times that we have chosen to speak or act for the good of someone else, even when it didn't feel comfortable. And there are times that we just haven't. There are many stories that we hear, and the news is full of places where the church has erred. Let's just be honest and tell the truth about that. There are times that we as Christians have done more damage than we have good. And we have to tell the truth about that, not because we're somehow better than some other group of Christians, but because telling the truth is acting in love. There are times that we have loved one another well. There are times that we have been generous and kind, and there are times that we must repent, because Jesus says that we're to be known by our love. By the love that we have for one another, we will be known as Jesus' followers. What would that look like in your life? If people could tell by how you acted in love that you were a follower of Jesus without you ever having to say a word, what would it look like for you to be known for your love? What actions have you been avoiding because it's uncomfortable to hold up the mirror or to tell the truth or to offer that challenge to whoever that person is in your life? Who are the people that God invited you to love who are prickly, and so they're hard to love? And so it would be easier to just avoid them than it would be to enter into that deeper relationship. Where do you need to act with courage and tell the truth and love more openly? Or challenge the status quo and say, I think we can do better here in this place or in this corner of our world. How about here? How is Hickory Hills Presbyterian Church acting in love towards those that we meet? Whether they come into our doors or whether we meet one another on the street, how are we acting in love? Are we acting for the good of one another? So I have a story that is a little bit of a stretch, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Because one of the things that I think acting in love means is that we challenge each other to do better, to know more, and to grow in our faith. So on Wednesday, I flew to New York, and I spent Wednesday to Saturday in the Catskills with a group of pastors and something we call first learners. First learners are simply the layperson, the non-pastor, who got picked to go with the pastor to learn this stuff. And we teach. We teach all sorts of things that we don't necessarily think about in the church, but that apply to the church. Things like, what does it mean to go on mission in our everyday lives? And what are the barriers that stop us from doing that? What are the things that keep us from being brave? We talk about courage and love and integrity and authenticity. And this retreat, we did something completely different. Rather than having an entire team of people and having the experts, of which I'm one, so we're not really, but rather than having the experts stand up in front and teach, we told them when we got there, we're going to give you some information, and then on Saturday, you're going to teach it to us. Now, you want to think about what that room just did? When we said, you're going to get up and teach us this material, we had mass rebellion, just FYI. We had hands flying up left, right, and sideways. Wait, I don't understand. You're going to ask me to do what? I don't know this material. I don't know how to have a crucial conversation. I've never heard this before. How can you ask me to teach? But acting in love says, if we're going to change our churches, we have to learn to practice these things. Acting in love says, what I really wanted to do is let them all off the hook and go, okay, we'll do it a different way. But acting in love said, no. You can do this. I believe that you can do this. We will help you do this. Saturday was so much fun. These people had so much more competency around this stuff than they thought they did. And what was even more fun was I had to listen to somebody give a presentation that I had already given, and they did a better job than I did. It was great. It really was. Acting in love sometimes means making one another uncomfortable. Acting in love sometimes means challenging each other to go deeper, to do more, to confront that behavior that they've been living with that they know they need to let go of and they need help with. Acting in love is what we are to be known for. Jesus said we should be known by our love. Our love. This love is not always warm and fuzzy. It's not always that gentle, oh, I love you so much. It's not simpering and sweet. This love is courageous, and it is accountable, and it is strong, and it is vibrant, and it is good. We are to be known by our love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to be known by our love. Help us to act in love with those that we meet. Even if they are hard to love, even if they challenge us, give us the strength and the courage and the love to act for the good of one another. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.